Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 1, and then verses 13 through 25. In his message titled Instant Gratification, Reverend David Williams tells us that a close walk with Jesus brings you closer to the life that Jesus asks us to live, which will bring you closer to your neighbor. When we are with Jesus, then all of the divisions we have with others break down. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
As we gather in this space today, we come out of a world where we are free. We're free to live as we wish and to act as we wish. We're free to speak and to have and to move in any way we want. That freedom is a blessing. But the challenge, as always, with all forms of freedom is how we use it. And in a society where our every impulse can be satisfied, where we can do whatever we want, whenever we want, see whatever we want, whenever we want, and have anything we want so long as we've gotten a recent credit card offer, there are challenges to our freedom. That we become impulsive, we become distracted, we become scattered, we forget that we have any greater purpose beyond this moment and its desires. Right now, let's admit that that can be a challenge for us as we pray together the prayer of confession that's in our bulletin. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious God, all around us, our culture tells us we can have whatever we want, whenever we want it. Our every desire is a click and a credit card charge away. We're encouraged to act impulsively, to chase our desires wherever they may take us. As we do this, we find ourselves increasingly lost. We forget the deep wisdom that comes from reflection and patience, and we both compromise our own future and the future of the world that has been trusted to our care. Forgive us, Lord. In the name of Christ, please forgive us. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Friends, who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone, the new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven, and be at peace. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. I'll be reading from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and then on to verses 13 through 25. You can follow along on page 190 of your Pew New Testament. Let's listen for God's holy word. Paul writes, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It really does feel completely like summer now. Full bore southern summer, the air thick and moist and heavy, that sun pressing down hot and bright from pretty much the first moment you get up in the morning. You step out, you walk the dog, and you say, it's 8 o'clock, and it feels hot already. That sweat beads on our brows and our backs as we bustle from air-conditioned homes to air-conditioned cars to air-conditioned destinations. And as the heat descends right before the 4th of July, it is hard to imagine what life must have been like here in this little sanctuary 100 years ago. We think back to the year 1919 and gathering on a day like this one in our lovely little brick oven of a sanctuary, as a few stalwart souls would gather together to fan themselves and wish their ancestors had settled in Vermont. But here we are, and today, as we gather, we thank the blessed Lord Jesus for the life and work of Willis Carrier, the inventor of modern air conditioning. Willis Carrier was, let this be said right off, because it's important, a Presbyterian. Had he been one of our Catholic brothers and sisters, I think he would have been sainted years ago. The patron saint of, oh, that feels nice. Carrier set us free from the heat fatigue of summer, free to go about our lives without pause. He made the smothering heat suddenly escapable, allowing us to move and to actually think in the dog days of summer, our minds no longer distracted by fantasies of soaking in an Olympic-sized pool of lemonade. We like that freedom to continue to move around and not feel sticky. We like it, because human beings like freedom. And free we are, I think, in this era for many, freer than perhaps we have ever been. In this time, we are free to see anything and everything. Free to watch anyone, anywhere, saying whatever they want. Free to listen to any music we want. Free to possess an object within 24 hours from anywhere, almost anything arriving at our doorstep. And if it's more than a day, we feel impatient. This is harshing on our desire to have what we want when we want it. We can communicate with anyone, complete strangers we can have long arguments with just because we feel like it. And we can see absolutely anything, I mean really anything at all, which is both a blessing and a strange, peculiar curse. It's the peculiar thing about freedom. Because we are made free, it is an aspect of how we were created. But though freedom is a thing of immense value, a thing that we remember is worth fighting for, it also has a strange moral neutrality. Because once we're free, that's not the end of our moral choosing. It's the beginning of it. What matters, as much as freedom itself matters, is how we use that state of being. And this is the point that Paul is trying to make in the passage we get this morning from his letter to the church at Galatia. And the passage begins with an ode to freedom that should get every American heart fluttering this week. For freedom, Paul says, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And you can just see Jesus standing there, lit by fireworks on a summer night, the warm breeze making his star-spangled robe flutter heroically. Go, freedom, Jesus. It's a nice little passage. But Paul takes that a little further. As he talks about the dynamics of freedom, Paul challenges the Galatians, who haven't really grasped just how free they are, challenges them with an 11-verse passage that the writers of the lectionary choose to cut out. So you didn't get to hear it this morning. You can go back and take a look, because whenever you have editors pull anything, it's like, what don't they want us to read? And the answer is, they don't want you to read Paul being really mean to the Galatians. It's a mean, he's like, he is not happy. It's worth taking a look. But the essence of it was that they had completely forgotten just how liberated Jesus made them. And Paul who felt powerfully that connection with God and how open suddenly the world was when you were following Jesus, felt that they needed to be reminded of what it meant to really be made free. So he goes on. So for you were called to freedom, he says, brothers and sisters. Only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. Because Paul knew something significant about that commitment to the path of following Jesus. He understood that in Christ, the rules and regulations that structured church, the idea that this faith was built on, like here is a law you must follow, not one law, but hundreds. Here are specific rules, here are specific patterns, here is exactly how you need to live your day. All of that got subordinated to the one law he proclaims, the one law that mattered to Jesus, the one thing that counts and defines every other pattern of life, which he reminds the Galatians. Do we remember what he said? The whole law is summed up in a single commandment, says Paul, from his master. Do we remember what Paul said? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. That is the whole of it. That is the law that sets us free to act under the auspices of God's love. And the Galatians had forgotten that, which is what annoyed Paul. It wasn't about what you ate or didn't eat. It wasn't about how you chose to observe the Sabbath. It wasn't about particular patterns and life ways. It wasn't obedience to one culture's standards. It was love your neighbor as yourself. Period. That's the defining rule. And that's another way to approach God. This was the revolutionary part of Christianity. That was the heart of it, the essence, the foundation. What was most fundamental to Christian faith was this law. And when people challenged the idea that it was that that mattered, it annoyed Paul. Here, this law of grace and love and forgiveness and mercy that transforms community, and you're opposing it. That's why Paul got so very vocal and a little harsh when he was confronting the Galatians. But though Paul was declaring our independence from the oppression of rules and regulations, he knew that there was another side to freedom, another side to the liberty we find in Jesus. Because it's so easy to take freedom and take your ability to do what you want and make it a reason to do anything at all. Do things that tear you down as a person, or do things that tear down your relationships with others. Elsewhere in Paul's letters, Paul talks about how we are all part of one thing. We're made part of the body of Christ. And he sees our freedom as living in tension with that. It's a constructive tension. It is freedom, but it's a freedom that exists through our love and our care for others. You are free, but you're not apart from a neighbor if you love that neighbor. You are bound to them in love and care. And though we are free, we depend on each other. We need each other. We need that support and that connection of friends, of families, of communities, of people we have never met and don't know who might approach us with grace and support. Human beings need each other. They require each other. And though we might like to imagine that our freedom exists in isolation, it doesn't. It exists in relationship with other free beings. It's not an either or. That's not how the world is. And if we pretend that the freedom to which God calls us, the freedom God offers us, has no boundaries at all, we're not telling ourselves the truth. It's very easy to use freedom to tear down. And Paul lists some of the ways we can harm and destroy ourselves and each other. There are hatreds and there are lusts that break us down. There are things we are addicted to, perhaps nothing more fiercely than bickering. We like to argue. He spends a lot of time talking about enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy. And it is a good thing in a culture that still considers itself largely Christian that we have moved past that as a society. No bickering, dissension. It's something human beings like. And when set free, we like perhaps nothing more than bickering. Wonderful energy in bickering. But that's an enemy of our freedom to care for one another. The freedom to which we are called allows us to do that if we so choose, but it is not our best and most gracious purpose. Paul defines those purposes more clearly in verse 22. What are we free to do in Christ? We are free to love. We are free to share joy with one another and express our joy in the world. We are free to be at peace. We are free to be patient. We are free to be kind and generous, faithful and gentle, and to take our freedom and apply it to ourselves through self-control and discipline so that we are free not to say that cutting comment that pops into our head when we're in the midst of a disagreement. We are free not to do that. It might seem that we aren't, and if we spend any time on Twitter, we are actually free not to use Twitter. You know, this is a thing. You don't have to do that. You don't have to weigh in on every last thing and oppose every last person that you think is being foolish. You don't have to do it. We have trouble with that. It's much easier to use our freedom for indulgence and attack, which, as evidenced by all of human history, and the endless snarling, fractious aggressions of our culture, which is free. We're very, very good at misusing freedom. Which is why in this week where we reflect in this blessedly cool sanctuary that we are set free from so many things, but we are also set free to do things in Christ, free to love one another, to rejoice in one another, to forgive one another, to support each other, and to live aware that as children of Christ's promise, that's the freedom we should seek, a freedom to which Christ has called all of us. And this week, when we remember freedom, let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
What do we have to fear? As free people, as people set free by our confidence in God's love, one of the first things we are set free from is fear. That fear to act with grace, that fear that maybe something will be received wrong, maybe we shouldn't share a joy because, or maybe we shouldn't take an action because what if God sets us free from fear? But God also sets us free in so many other ways. Free to show compassion, free to forgive, free to go out into a world and share love when it seems like no one wants to hear that. They want to hear anger, they want to hear fighting, they want to hear division. Who wants to hear that message of grace? But in Christ, Paul reminds us today, we are free to share all of those things, free to have the confidence to be graceful, free to be confident as we step out into a world that has always been human and fractious and broken, with a message of reconciliation and goodness. As you go out as a free child of God this week, use your freedom as Christ would have it used, to spread joy, to give comfort, and to be that presence of Christ in the world. It is for that that we are set free. Use your freedom this week to set the world just a little more aright. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.